Hi everyone, I'm Jennifer Vine, President and CEO of the Education Foundation of Sarasota County and your host for Education Conversations, where we share ideas on education today and ways to help prepare students to thrive. Today's episode is sponsored by Comcast, and I just really want to give them a big thanks for all the support they give to us and to all of our education affiliates across the state. And everyone, welcome to this episode. It's called Local Education Foundations Make Statewide Impact. And I'm really excited to have today's guest. She's been a staunch leader of a statewide organization that we call the Consortium of Florida Education Foundations. And Mary Chance has been the president and CEO of that organization since 2008. Her time in education certainly has gone beyond that time, and she's applied her leadership and her diligence and her passion for education all along the way to support local education foundations, all that roll up to this consortium. So I'm super excited to have Mary be a part of this and for our listeners to really understand a little bit more about all of the work that's kind of behind the curtain, if you will, that's moving and advancing educational causes. And so, Mary Chance, welcome to Education Conversations.
Wonderful to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, it's fun to be with you in this light. You have so much to offer and to share with our listeners. And I really, well, some of the things we always want to start with is just learning a little bit about you personally. You know, what brought you into education? Why have you been passionate for 17 years? I mean, that's a long time to be leading the Consortium of Florida Education Foundations. So share with our listeners kind of what brought you to the fold and then what kept you going for so many years.
Sure. So actually, it's been 27 years because it was 10 years on the local level with the Education Foundation of Alachua County, and then 17 years I've had the privilege of leading the consortium. And in terms of my why, I think it comes from my mother. My late mother often said that she believed all the world's problems could be solved with communication and education. She was the child of an immigrant who had a third grade education, came from Ireland to New York. And she saw firsthand the power of education to change lives. I'm the youngest of six, and she communicated to all of us the imperative of a strong education. So I don't think it's an accident that all of us have some type of post-secondary credential or degree, certainly as first-generation college students. And I think just her example became my why.
That's really good. And I didn't realize you were the youngest of six, and all of your siblings are in some form of education?
All of them have continued their education. We have teachers, we have all sorts of professionals in my family.
That's incredible. And I do think that is a profound example, actually, because oftentimes the immigrants or those who have not obtained an education, they see it firsthand what not having it is. And so for many of us who have it, we don't have that kind of example. And that's a wonderful lived experience that your mom kind of, you know, put on for you. So that really is such a great inspiration. After sharing about your background, I really love to know about kind of the consortium. And certainly I know a lot about the Consortium of Florida Education Foundations. I've been involved in it for as long as I've been involved with the Education Foundation of Sarasota County, but many of our listeners don't know about the membership organization. And so I'd love for you to share just a little bit about, kind of give the, you know, the elevator speech, if you will, for the consortium.
Absolutely. So the consortium has been around for more than 30 years. We are a 501c3 nonprofit supporting those local education foundations that are aligned with nearly all of Florida's 67 countywide school districts. So right now we have 63 member education foundations, one who is the recognized Ed Foundation, working in support and in partnership with their local school district, countywide school district. Our members collectively represent about 99% of Florida's nearly 3 million K-12 students, and together they raise about $100 million annually for a variety of their locally driven initiatives, and they hold collectively about $226 million in assets. So we support them, we act as their champion, their connector to resources on a national and state level, help them accomplish things that they couldn't accomplish within their own county's borders by being their voice and their advocate and connector.
How did the consortium start, and how did many of the local education foundations start? Share with our listeners how that started.
Sure. So initially, there was this idea that actually came from California when there were some, I believe it was cuts to arts funding in the early 80s, and there was an interest in stepping in and stepping up to augment public funds and go beyond what tax dollars could provide to provide meaningful support to students throughout California. And some early leaders heard about that idea and brought it to Florida. We actually sponsored a representative to come meet with a handful of folks who were interested in starting ed foundations in Florida in the Tampa Bay area. And that's where the idea grew from there.
It's actually really impressive because I think for when you think about Florida having 67 counties, there's representation in 63 of those counties. I know we probably want to see all of the different counties, at, you know, in some form or fashion at some point. But that seems to be a leader across the nation, unlike other states. As you mentioned, California may have started it, but is Florida the most immersive across the, you know, the state in its representation?
Absolutely. I've been involved with the National Association of Education Foundations throughout my tenure with the consortium. And I have to say, we're kind of the envy of the rest of the country. We have a much more robust network than any other state has. We come together around joint funding in a way that other states have not gotten their arms around. And, you know, it's just a more, much more robust network for sharing and spreading the movement.
Yeah, and I think the funding is always been a critical element. I think all local education foundations certainly give a nod to the consortium for helping bring dollars, bring partnerships, bring change to us. But you've grown a lot in the 17 years that you've been leading the organization. Not only you personally, but the consortium has changed a lot. What has kind of remained the same? What are some of the transformations and things that you've seen that are different? And how has the consortium responded?
Yeah, I have been thinking about this a little bit lately, about how much things have changed. And in my early days with the consortium, I'll just go back and tell you, for instance, that STEM was not an acronym. It was something on a plant. There was no acronym that was STEM. So that became probably the first opportunity that I could see of connecting classroom curriculum to the why students should be learning something. So how does science, technology, engineering, and math curriculum translate into careers and open doors for students, thinking beyond what they're learning in a textbook? So we started creating some partnerships. One of the first ones, we certainly had some in place already when I started with the consortium, but a new one was with AT&T Florida, just connecting students to the world of work and why they're learning algebra and how it's applied in the classroom by giving them real world experiences with professionals.
That's actually really good. And it's interesting that you're reflecting on the changes of 17 years, because I think something is happening with you in just a few months. You're retiring, is that right?
That is correct. Yes.
That's a big shift and a big change. So knowing that you're probably even more hyper-reflective of your time with the consortium, what are some of your like favorite parts of the things you've done over the years? What are some of your fondest memories? What are maybe your biggest hangups of a fashionable failure, if you will, or anything along those lines?
Fantastic question. Well, going back further than my tenure with the consortium, I'll go back to when I was a member for 10 years. So I was you for 10 years. And I came from the private sector, and I fell into really this parallel universe of acronyms and terms and in education, not to mention a lot to learn about nonprofit leadership. And I remember going to my first consortium meeting in 1998, and I remember hyperventilating all the way home because our Alachua Foundation had historically been singularly focused on student scholarships. And that exposure I had to my peers, where they were throwing other ideas in the room with programming and even potential funding sources, really got me jazzed and thinking, and became really the network itself. And I'll say, back then, there was no School District Education Foundation matching grant program, which I can explain to listeners what that's about. But it wasn't about funding. It was about helping one another not reinvent the wheel, spread the movement, figure out what you can best really make a meaningful difference in the lives of students by bringing in some private sector investment and involvement. And it was that idea that I got introduced to back in 98, and then this strong network of peers that really inspired and supported me for 10 years. These folks became my lifeline, my phone a friend. I found a number of mentors, and I became a volunteer leader in the group, just like you are, Jennifer, as our immediate past chair for the organization. And that allowed me to develop even stronger belief in the power of the consortium.
Yeah, I think just speaking from my own vantage point, oftentimes people think the funding is what's going to, you know, bring you to the table, but that pales in comparison to the collaboration, to the networking, to the shared learning communities that are out there. That's the power of the consortium, is how the strength of that work can canvas out across the state, whether you're in an urban or rural district, you're big, you're small, you're connected to the district, you're not connected to the district. I think that has been a powerful, powerful change agent. But Mary, honestly, a lot of kudos to you for leading that organization for so many years. So you didn't answer the fashionable failure, though. So I'm just kind of curious. Did you ever have anything that you're going to look back on? And if you don't have one, that's fair. So I'm putting you on the spot. But I'm kind of curious. Is there anything that you...
Oh, actually, one of my favorite failures was because remember that background I have in marketing and communications. I created a campaign thinking that it was actually brought to us from one of our members. It was a get on the bus campaign and, you know, get people involved. And so they had great visuals of lots of professional adults getting on a school bus and getting involved. And the idea being to get in, to get involved through your education foundation. We had billboard companies that gave us free billboards throughout the state. Different promotional materials. And when it all came down, people really thought we were talking about transportation and not education. So that was, I skipped over a little bit on the research. So, that was an example of where one idea that was working in one community with context of people knowing who these people are getting on a bus did not translate well statewide. And so since then, we've really left the engagement on the local level, the communication of the value of getting engaged with the local education foundation, up to you all on the local level for sure.
That's a good one. Well, hopefully the public transportation departments of all the local communities thank you for that. So, well, what do you hope for the future of the consortium, or maybe with, you know, public education? There's a lot of change going on. This is amazing that you're exiting stage right when we're like converging here on a lot of different impacts and things happening in public education. So what do you think still needs to get done? What do you hope happens in your lifetime, maybe?
Wow, that's a deep question. I think the biggest thing I hope continues with the consortium's culture, and that I think will be super important during this time of really transformative change and so much sort of out there as potential for education. What I hope remains constant is that local education foundations remember and hold fast to the fact that they hold their community's long-term value for their public schools or values. And so, again, a lot of our members have been around for 30 plus years. Some are having their 40th anniversary this year. And they've been there through all the different changes, and yet they remain. And so they're not about a program or a thing. They are about their community's long-term vested interest in their schools. And I think that's super important. In terms of hopes, I hope that with all of the things that are happening that are new and different, that education foundations can really lean into that role of acting as R&D for their schools and think about ways they could seed learning innovation through an ed foundation and try something in their schools that may or may not be something that's scalable and fit with the long-term vision of the community. For us and for the consortium, I'm hoping we have started in recent years funding multi-year program grants in some areas that have been really
meaningful and are catching on and taking flight. You mentioned learning communities. So these are not just funding. The funding might be relatively small, but it's connected with learning and sharing with one another. So some of those have been in career pathways for students, starting with a couple of private funders, healthcare funders, who see the value in intentionally exposing students to career pathways more deeply back into elementary and middle school, and then introducing them to those jobs and credential paths that are far more varied than they could have imagined. And I hope we see more of that. I can understand with all of the transformation and flux in our world in general, but in education in particular, I could see where people might have an instinct to sort of keep their head down in color and stay focused on the core things they're doing today. But I really would encourage everyone to lift their head up and look around and pay attention to, what is different, what is potentially coming, and what are the unknowns, and really buckle up for the ride, because it is transformative. We throw that word around a lot, but you can listen to the conversation in Tallahassee or nationally or in local communities, and you will hear that this sort of box that we've put ourselves in over time is too constraining, really, for the future of education in our country. And so I think education foundations on one side, holding that long-term community's interest in their schools, but on the other side, lifting their head up and saying, where can we be relevant and helpful in this time of transformation to help us move forward in our particular community and context?
That's really very staged, affirming advice. And I hope all, not just the local education foundations across the state, hear your words, because they're so on point, but also anyone involved in their education foundations, anyone who cares about kids, cares about their community being a thriving community, would get involved and really take notice. And as you said, put your head up. That's really great. I know oftentimes we kind of sarcastically joke that, working in education is like dog years. But I would just say to you, the 17 years that you led the consortium, in addition to all the years that preceded that with your work in education, your impact is in dog years. So I just really want you to know that you've had an exponential impact across the state. I mean, you really are going to be sorely missed, and you're definitely leaving some big shoes to fill. So the question then is, so what are you going to do next?
Well, I am envisioning doing some consulting, coaching, possibly teaching in a credential class. I think I'll be doing some of that. I'll be looking for some more balance in my life, certainly, because I've shared with everybody I only know how to go out at this work full speed. So I'm looking forward to dialing back a little bit, but I do think I have some wisdom and experience to offer, and I look forward to doing that in a different capacity.
Well, I certainly know and hope that our paths are going to continue to cross, because to our listeners, again, the Consortium of Florida Education Foundations has been a great resource and a partner for us locally, but certainly, Mary, you've been not only a great partner, but a great friend, and I really do cherish the time we've had together, but certainly all the years you've invested for the betterment of students across Florida, so thank you for that.
Thank you for your leadership.
All right, everybody, we're doing a feel good now. Now we're getting all mushy. So if people want to know about the consortium, what's your website? How can people find out about that?
Absolutely. Educationfoundationsfl.org, or just Google up Consortium of Florida Education Foundations. It's a fairly wonky name, but you'll get there. And check us out. I would say for folks who are listening that are outside of the Sarasota area, one of the tabs on our website is Connect Local. And that's a great way to introduce someone to an education foundation on the other coast or elsewhere in Florida, or to learn about them. If you have family members or people moving to Florida and they're looking for a positive place to engage and get involved, and definitely do that. These sort of partner programs that I've mentioned in passing that we facilitate, you can learn a little bit more about them as well. So often a funder will come to us and say, listen, I want to fund these types of opportunities for students in
my footprint in Florida, which is 26 counties, and I want to provide scholarships or some type of support for teachers. And we're able to facilitate that in a pretty turnkey way, which is certainly very helpful. And then finally, I did mention the School District Education Foundation matching grant program. When you talked about sort of where Florida is with education foundations compared to the rest of the nation, this is a feather in our cap that we've had since 2001. We are the only state where the legislature appropriates a dollar-for-dollar match for education innovation through education foundations, and that's really exciting. So our appropriation this past year has been $7 million. The legislative process is wrapping up now for this year, but I will say we really enjoy deep support, largely not just because of what I do or what we do on a state level, but because our education foundations in urban or rural districts throughout the state have engaged their local legislators, and they see what's happening to support students and teachers and innovate learning. Empower the potential of those students and teachers through those matching funds. So you can learn all about that and more through the website.
There's a lot there, that's for sure. And thanks for pointing all of that out. That's a great way to end this time together. So, Mary, I really do appreciate you being a part of the podcast. To our listeners, we really appreciate you joining in and listening to us. You know, you can find us on any of the channels in which you like your favorite podcast. For more information, you can find out about us at edfoundationsrq.org. And another big shout out to Comcast for sponsoring today's podcast. We really do appreciate you guys. So everyone, thanks so much for tuning in to this episode of Education Conversations, and really do appreciate your time, Mary, once again. This is Jennifer Vine signing off for the Education Foundation of Sarasota County.